First Samuel chapter 1. And we're also going to be, quoting from memory, I hope, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I hope everybody has memorized that one. We'll look at both those. So let's go ahead and just follow along as I read for us First Samuel chapter 1, and then we will examine some important principles here. Now, there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" That's a clueless man there, okay? And verse 9, then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Samuel means asked of God in Hebrew. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him, only may the Lord confirm his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you, praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Then I hope that you have memorized Romans 8:28, so I'll read it for us. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. With those two passages in mind, even though Romans 8:28 was written in the New Testament, the truth of it has been evident from the very beginning of history. I'm sure that all the Old Testament saints knew the principle of Romans 8:28, even though that scripture hadn't been inscripturated yet by the Apostle Paul. But notice that as they understood how God worked all things together for good, and it was proven over and over again. And then in the New Testament, as we observe God continuing to prove it true in our lives today, we can see a perfect illustration of the truth of Romans 8:28 in the life of Hannah and her son Samuel. How could good come of all the bad things in Hannah's situation? Did Hannah have a lot of bad situations? Yeah. Okay. She was in a less than ideal marriage. God's ideal is one man, one woman for life. We can see this in the very beginning of creation. God did not create one man, Adam, and Eve 1, Eve 2, Eve 3, and Eve 4, okay? Just Adam and Eve. Despite the polygamy that began to be practiced not long after Adam and Eve's descendants, God's ideal remained one man, one woman for life. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see that Hannah was the second wife in a one-husband, two-wife family, a far-from-ideal family situation. Was she the first wife he married or the second? We don't know. We're not told that. In addition to that, we see that she had no children, and in Bible times, not only were children considered a blessing from God, a lack of children was considered a curse from God. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." So on top of all that, her husband's other wife not only had children, but also taunted Hannah and made her life miserable. We're not told this here. I imagine that Peninnah's nastiness stemmed at least in part from the fact that Elkanah apparently loved Hannah more than Peninnah. One of the problems with multiple wives is you usually tend to love one more than the other, and that's not fair, the one that's not loved as much. So you see why God said one man, one woman for life. So I get this from the first part of verse 5 where it tells us, "But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah." Doesn't say anything about he loved Peninnah, okay? So I'm just saying it's very likely this was also part of the problem, and Peninnah made Hannah's life miserable. So we can see that Hannah's situation at the beginning of this chapter is not a happy one, but God can turn anything around by his power and for his good purpose. How does he do that? Well, let's trace how he did it in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in Hannah's situation so that you can see that not only that is how he can do it, but that he actually did it and therefore can do things like that in your situation if you surrender to him and trust him. First of all, God used the bad things in Hannah's situation to bring her to complete surrender and consecration to God. Second of all, God honored her prayer request by giving her a son, Samuel. Thirdly, as a result of her giving back to God her firstborn son, God in return blessed her with 5 more children. By the way, there's no record in Scripture of her having asked God for these additional children. It seems she was grateful to God for giving her Samuel and contented herself with that wonderful answer to prayer. But look at God's love and grace manifested in his abundant gift of 5 more children. Fourthly, God gave her the privilege of giving birth to Samuel, one of the greatest prophets and judges of Israel. And notice, as a bonus, he had the privilege of anointing David as king. And David was the man after God's own heart. So a wonderful privilege there. What a lesson we can take from the birth of Samuel. God has a good purpose in everything he allows to come into our lives. We can enjoy his blessings when we surrender our will to him and trust him to work all things together for good. Is your situation different than Hannah's? I hope so. I don't think there's any polygamy happening in this world, but you know, you're in our situation. But you can have something that's just as bad. It can be a different kind of bad, but it's still bad. And you can say, yeah, our situation's bad, but think about it. Did God turn things around for Hannah? Yes, he did. And he does all things well. That's the kind of God that we serve. And I hope this encourages you and brings you back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and really believe that statement. And we know that God is working all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder, even in this Old Testament passage where Romans 8, 28 had not yet been inscripturated. And yet, Lord, we know your character doesn't change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we're so glad to see a perfect example lived out here of Hannah and her son Samuel. And Lord, we thank you for reminding us that you truly do work all things together for good, that we need to love you and follow you and consecrate our lives to you so that you can use us fully to accomplish your perfect will in our lives and in the lives of those that we touch. I pray that you'd just be with us now as we share prayer requests and then go to a season of prayer. I pray, Father, that we would glorify you in this as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.